What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free. This is Ray Daniels, and I hope you're enjoying the conversation I'm having with my good brother right here, Benzino. But I wanted to stop and tell you about a new community I just started for anyone that has a dream of being in music, podcasting, media, film, TV, anything. It's called the Dreamers Community, and our members are known as the God Squad. So if you want to be a part of the God Squad, I would love for you to click the link below, join my community, and we're going to have a whole lot of activations, events, conversations, Zooms, one-on-ones, and we're gonna give you guys the access that you want to actually win in the space that you wanna win in. And there'll be a whole lot of people, a community of people that are just like you, that have one might have this answer, one might have that answer, and we'll all be together, we'll get together, and we're gonna all help each other get to our dreams. So click the link below, sign up for my community, and then when you do, send me a picture and say you're part of the God Squad, my brothers and sisters. So, Althea, let's talk about y'all relationship, because since we've been saying talking, I haven't heard you talk about love like that with no other woman. We got baby mamas, we got celebrities, we got all this stuff, but Althea had you open.
Yeah.
What happened?
I fell hook, line, and sinker with the woman that obviously didn't love me the same way. We did have an amazing boy, like Zeno was the love of my life, man.
That's your twin.
Man, you know, he just turned 8. But it came with a lot, you know, like I fell for Althea knowing all, everything that I knew. And I didn't let that hamper the relationship, you know what I'm saying? I kind of matured in that way because, you know, I don't think I was that mature before where I, you know, that somebody, one of my friends or someone I knew would be able to sleep with her and I would be able to process that. Mm-hmm. But I kind of matured in that way, which made me a better person. But I just was, you know, I kept trying to win her back. And it probably wasn't a possible task, but I just always held out hope. And like anything that I had, financial, anything, I would just give it to her. Like, you know, like take it. You know what I'm saying? I really wanted her back. You know, after loving hip hop, it was like we broke up. And you know, it looked like, okay, well, damn, when things are going good, you're with me, but now things are bad. You know, it might have looked like that, but she had her reasons, and I can't fault her for her reasons. You know what I'm saying?
What was her reasons? Do you know?
I mean, well Althea's thing was, you know, you probably have to ask her, but she'll give you a whole host of reasons, you know.
What's your interpretation?
Well, I don't know, Ray. I just know that I loved her, and I try to impress her and do everything right, and I ended up falling on my face, and it was probably the most heartbreaking thing I ever been through in my life. Like, I was heartbroken, it affected me, and then like I probably should have just left it alone. I probably shouldn't have spent the block, that's what they're saying now. You know, I tried to spend the block and end up crashing the car, you know what I'm saying?
So you spent the block, is that what you're talking about in the video? Well, that, what happened with you and the police?
The video, man, that was, so the week before that,
I'm not gonna lie to you, on some man shit, I feel bad. I saw a man fighting, trying.
Listen. So she, you know, Althea moved into a big house. At that point, I bet the farm. I didn't have no more work. I was flat broke. Got some PPP money. I never forget. I went in the back of her yard and took like $5,000 and made a heart out of it in the yard. And I was like, look, I knocked on the door and she just came, get the fuck out of here, took the money and went back in. I mean, that shit.
Hold on. What?
Yeah.
Hold on, why you let her take the money?
I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But I just remember us having sex, like on my birthday, and I was so happy. And then I remember going to pick up Zeno for tennis lessons the next thing, and then she was walking with dude.
So the day that the incident happened, y'all had sex the day before?
The week before,
okay.
On my birthday. And I just gave her another set. Out of the 20,000 PPP, I think I gave her like 13,000. You know what I'm saying? And, I don't know, man. You know what I'm saying? One thing about love and stuff, it makes you do stuff that you really can't control. I just was felt like I can win her back. And, of course, you know, money's the first thing that, you know.
They want.
It ain't easy talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Thank God, you know, like, and I want to say this for the record that I hadn't really understood love prior to that. You know, we went on love marriage boot camp, we went on a bunch of reality shows, and I was really seeking help. And one of the shows, the one we did with Oprah, there was a therapist named Spirit. I'll never forget. Like I promised after the marriage boot camp thing I would never do one of them house things again, especially mm-hmm. with her, like, but I needed the money. We had to stay 2 weeks in the house. That shit was hard as hell. As soon as we got in there, the couples are together. She wants to sleep in her own room. That shit had fucked me up. Cause, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm thinking I'm going to get her back on that. And she had no intention. She had already been messing with somebody. But with the video that you see with the police was me popping up, getting Zeno. And then she came back from a walk with the dude. And my heart just fell out of my body. I just like that. I'm trying to explain the moment to you the best way I know how, because my heart, it just fell out of my body at that point. And, I couldn't believe it. The first thing, of course, I'm looking at dude, like, you know, I'm furious with him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to chop his fucking head off at that. But if I had an axe, I just would, you know, and that's why my father always told me, man, penitentiaries and graveyards are filled with guys over women. That always echoes.
Penitentiaries and graveyards
are filled with guys over problems with women. Over crimes of passion and stuff like that. So, my father, he's the first one. Hey, wait, fuck that bitch. Hey, man, no, man. You know, hey. You know, my father, he stops ain't with none of that shit. You know, he ain't with none of that. But that day, it was a hard day. They called, dude. I immediately started talking to him, and he said something. He just took off, right? And she's, you know, she's disrespecting me. And then when the police came, it was just like I crying. You know, what I'm saying? I'm not ashamed of crying because I got issues. And when I look at myself in the times I've cried on TV, that's real. I'm looking at that as a person. I'm looking at it as a person that needed help. I'm looking at me, and I know all that shit was bottled up. Like, I've seen death and destruction my whole life. You know, I was 13, 12 years old, you know, doing shit for my father. From there, that was the beginning of my street life, and all I've seen was death and destruction my whole life. And I've lost a lot of people. But, you know, that moment right there, I just felt helpless. And I'll never forget when I ended up getting in the police car, and he had came back, and she's like, baby, do you need anything? And I just was like,
the guy came back.
We came back, not when the police was there, he ended up coming back. By then, I think I had punched a dent in his car.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you know what I mean? Like, fucked up my hand and shit. Like, what the fuck am I punching the car for? I ended up getting locked up, and then I'm sitting in the intake, and I'm just all fucked up. Things like this dude, like, yo, man, you don't love hip hop. Every time I get locked up, dudes always, yo, you know what I'm saying? I don't mind talking to dudes. Yeah. This time, I just wasn't for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, homie, I'm not for it.
Yeah.
He said one more thing, right? I reached to punch this nigga's whole face into the wall. Like, I fucked him up. You know what I'm saying? He's all on the thing. Oh, God came. They threw me in the hole. You know what I'm saying? Went to the nurse. I had fucked up my hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just was like distraught because, you know, like I you know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt betrayed. And, but it taught me, it made me stronger. You know what I'm saying? I don't, there's nothing about regret. I don't feel like I'm soft. I don't feel like nothing. I feel like I'm a man that went through some shit and I was hurt. And the tears were real tears because I was hurt. Those are tears of hurt. But those tears just wasn't hurt from her. Those tears came from all the shit that I've been going through.
Fighting.
It just all builds up to the moment. And it's same thing with Spirit. When we was on the Oprah show, and she asked me, and I told her, I said, look, you know, I said, I just want love unconditional. I don't want to have to pay for it. Although I'm paying for it.
Do you think you've been paying for love your whole life?
Like I told her, I'll take it for free.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to.
Yeah.
But then I told her, I probably don't even know what love is. Mm-hmm. I probably don't even know what the... I said, I think I do, but do I really? And I broke down then, and I'm watching myself, and there was nothing the matter with me. I didn't feel like I was soft. I didn't feel like I was a punk. I just felt like, you know what I'm saying, I was going through some shit, and it come out. And after you cry... It takes a lot off you.
Yeah.
Me, it does.
It kind of resets. It gives you a reset.
Man, you know what I mean? Honestly, every time I did, I felt at least physically better. Yeah. I could breathe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then my mind was kind of clear. Like before that, I felt cluttered up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it after that. That was it.
So it was the moment when she called the police on you and that guy, that was the last time you tried?
That was it. That's when I knew... After that, after all the crying and after all the shit, bro, I mean, that was it after that. It was naturally. At that point, it's like, she don't want you. You know what I'm saying? If she has to be happy with somebody else, then man, that's Zeno's mother. Then let her be happy with somebody else. As long as he's good to Zeno, then let her be happy with somebody else and really feel that way. Train your mind to feel that way. That's what I tried to do. I tried to train my mind to really feel happy for her because at the end of the day, if I can't win it back, I can't be fucking mad at every nigga fucking or every nigga talking to her. I just got to train my mind to know that, look, she's going to be with somebody else. That's no knock on me. Yeah. There's somebody out there who's going to love me. I'm with somebody now who loves me very dearly, and I love her very dearly.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it came again. You know what I mean? But, you know, all these things that happened to me, Ray, I internalized them, and I learned from them. I'm a better man, and I try to... The one thing about my son, when he lost his girl, I'm like, damn, he got that from me. He just was crying. He thought the world was going to end. Anyway, yeah, I never forget. And he wants to move with her. And I'm like, Larry, you can't move with her. He wants to move her with us. Like, you know what I mean? He's 20, she's 18. I'm like, Ray.
No.
I mean, he was distraught. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, damn.
That's you. But then...
I know.
Ray. The same... See, that's what I love. See, that's what brothers... Because the You're same right, thing is what happens. It's like sometimes we don't see, our daughters because they girls. But it's like, they you. They you. They just, you know, they... Brother, like, it's hard, but...
I don't wish that on nobody.
Me neither.
I don't wish heartbreak. I don't wish you seeing somebody you love with another man on nobody. But God wanted me to see that. He wanted me to go through that. Because I'm the type of nigga, like, I've climbed through windows. I've waited in bushes. Like, I'm just a jealous-ass nigga. And... You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's insecurity, but I've done crazy shit in my life. So, like, I've climbed through Althea's window, broke a window, climbed through it when she was sleeping. Like, I've done meta shit. You know what I'm saying? That day that happened, all that stopped, I think. I don't think I'll do that.
But can I tell you something, though? I saw that video. Maybe.
I don't know.
I saw that video, and all I thought to myself was, he just wants her to show at this one moment that she cares.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that, but Guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LaRayCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Like, it was like, the police got me. I don't care about that. I'll go to jail.
She and said, baby, you need any water? Why is getting run away in jail? Then, I'm sitting there like,
and then I saw you
saying, like a nail, golly, what else can you do to me in this moment?
Like, he's like, baby. Like, and you're trying to talk to her, like, you're talking to the police, and you're like, not the beginning of a funny situation. Has anybody ever seen Beverly Hills Cop? Yeah. It's this scene in Beverly Hills Cop where they come into the guy's office, and he's like, look, man, you got $200 parking ticket. He's like, $200 parking ticket? That's not mine. Oh, that's my wife's car. And he just picks up the phone and be like, you fucking bitch. Let me call about it. He's just so mad. He's like, yeah, what? Bitch! Hang the phone, like, you didn't call nobody. And I was watching this, you know, go through it. And you could just see Tom Police.
I just was like, how could you? I wasn't trying to disrespect
you. Yeah, but it was like in the middle of talking to the police. He's asking the police questions like, man, hold on, she told you I did what? You told me what, you fucking bitch! Why would you do that? This guy like, yeah, I knew he was gonna tell her anything. He was like, this nigga just like,
that was hard for me.
Help me.
That was a
help
hard moment.
Me.
But I did look ripped like a motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie. Shirt was off and I looked at Rip, you know, I'm an older guy, and I was like, you didn't look all that bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know there's a chick looking at you like, yo, he don't look all that bad.
And listen,
so
but one don't want you, another one's gonna come. So let's get
over. Thank God for that.
We got a couple more things.
Shit.
Let me ask you a question.
Be if it wasn't for that.
You said on this show, this episode right now, you also said on Instagram that you have a lot of, you said, Angela Martinez don't fuck with me. Angela, you don't fuck with me. Monty don't fuck with me. Leo don't fuck with me. And I'm just trying to understand, like, what is it that happened to you that you can, that
the
you
Eminem
can
beef.
You think it was the Eminem beef?
Yeah, 100%.
Why?
The Eminem beef, you know, when he got to Hot 90, people were just so into that dude, man, to where, and Jimmy had his hands in everything at that point where nobody wanted to piss him off. Everybody wanted to be with the hotness. And he was the hot shit. Yep. He was the hot shit. Jimmy had the hot label. It's like, fuck you, Zeno. You know what I'm saying? And I just took it personal with everybody. You know what I mean? And I'm like, damn, like, a month ago, I was all good. You know what I'm saying? It just wasn't them. It was Funkmaster Flex. It was everybody.
So why was everybody taking M side? And how do you know?
Because he's white. And because money. They was making stupid money with him.
Okay.
They're not going to... Here I am trying to knock him down and expose him. He got to go.
What happened with Eminem's beef? What was it?
I just felt like hip-hop was from black people.
Okay.
Latino people from the struggle.
Okay.
And I felt like it was something that finally got white people to come to our culture and accept us and spend money with us. Really the first time it happened at a major level like that. And I felt like we don't need the white rapper now for white people just to fuck with the white rapper. Everything I said that was going to happen, happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just make no mistake. What I said happened. I just had nobody standing with me. And, you know, sometimes when you have no one standing with you, you just got to you gotta be more strategic. And I wasn't. And I just always...
And can you tell me what time of time was this? Was you still with the Source? Was the Source?
Yeah, this was like...
And then
Sylvia Rome gave me the biggest deal of my life. Rocked the party. $1 million deal. And then I'll never forget. I put the... She was like, yo, she don't want this Eminem beef. She had to answer to Doug and all of them. And they're all Jimmy's friends. She's like, look, I gave you a chance. Like, don't make me look stupid.
Exactly.
And I loved Sylvia Rome. Yes. I looked up to her.
Yep.
Powerful black woman.
My first job. I love
Listen, Sylvia. Listen. Bro, I snuck, pull up your skirt on the album, and she called me in, and she looked like she wanted to cry. And I'm sitting there with just me and her, and I felt like I wanted to cry because I'm looking at her as a mother figure.
Yep.
And I'm looking at her as somebody that I looked up to and admired, and I was grateful that she gave me this chance because that's all I ever wanted was a hit record. I finally got it, and then I let, you know, the Eminem thing take over me. I put it on the album. She said, I gotta let you go. And I was sitting in the office.
What? Hold on, so Motown lets you go because...
It was Electra.
Oh, Electra, okay.
Electra, I saw the Motown with Kadar.
Okay, so Electra, she let you go because
the Eminem diss song, Pull Up Your Skirt, got put on the album and she didn't know about it.
Mm,
and
okay.
She said, like, and at the end of the day, Doug was her people, Jimmy was Doug's people,
yeah.
And they was making too much money with this kid. And I was expendable at that point. And she was like, yo, I sat there for a moment and I was, you know, I said, I understand. thank you for everything. And I was like, I was shaking a little bit. And I don't never shake.
Yeah.
I might cry, but I don't shake. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get nervous. Mm-hmm. I felt anxiety there because I felt like I let her down.
Ooh,
then,
I get that.
And then when I was walking out, and I'm going down the elevator, I'm like, I started, that's that. I don't live with regrets, but that was the one time I think I regretted that situation. At that moment, it didn't last long, but that moment, just watching her like that, she just was sad and it was fucked up. And I couldn't say anything, and she let me go, and I you know.
So did she ever hear the, so did she actually hear the,
she got Rock Bird? The Party on Eddie Murphy's movie, she got Rock the Party on the Transporter movie, she got Rock the Party on NBA Live. Like, I was doing amazing, I'm doing Soul Train, I'm doing.
Shout out to Mario Winans, Mario Winans.
Yep. So I'm doing Soul Train, I'm live at the Apollo, we sold out to a standing ovation, me and Lisa Ray, I mean. I'm doing all the things that I wanted to do. Like, the Source, I never fucking wanted to be a magazine guy. I just fell into that.
Yep.
I wanted to have a hit record. I finally get it, and I ended up ruining it because I'm beefing with Eminem. So, you know, shit happens.
So, Eminem is the root of the beef. Is Eminem also the start of the Source having problems?
Well, people thought that, because, but they don't, you know, Jimmy pulled all his stuff. But in retrospect, the reason what, you know, and I said this, Steve Stout invested $9-10 million into source.com, and it just was too early. Yep. It crashed. We owed the bank $30 million.
Exactly. Oh wow.
$30 million ballooned up. It was, you know, they bought it from a little bank in Providence at like a 25% interest rate.
Hold on. The you said Steve Stout.
Steve Stout and Dave Mays had the idea to start source.com, and it was a brilliant idea. They was ahead of their time. Okay. It's just that once it dropped, nobody had computers. They opened up a brand new office on Fifth Ave, source.com. Dave took me by there. I'm looking at all these new people. I'm walking through there like, what the fuck is this? Because I didn't understand it.
So you didn't, so did you, were you in a position where you could speak on it?
I told Dave I wasn't with it, but we had an understanding that I'm going to trust you, and I don't know about it, I'm going to trust you. It's like, you trust me.
Of course.
He trusts me in things, I trust him in things.
For sure.
Source Hip Hop Hits, that was my idea.
Yeah.
He trusted me. Mm. We sold 5 million copies. We made millions and millions of dollars. Mm. Universal still owes me money to this day. Mm. I did a 50-50 profit share and split. We only got $5 million. Mm. They sold 5 million. You might can help me with that.
Yeah, for sure. Hell yeah. This is crazy. So when did things start going south with the Source? In you and Dave's relationship,
the Source thing, I got indicted by the feds because at that point, like, they was trying to hit me with the RICO. They were saying that I was my charges was money laundering, extortion. There was two bodies in Boston they was trying to throw on me. There was a bunch of charges. They wanted me to cop out to 25 years, and I was like, hell no. And they would sit downstairs from the Source and follow me. I mean, it was like, it's going on for a couple of years. Once that fell apart, the tax evasion came. Because people don't realize the feds have two offices. There's criminal and there's taxes. They're two separate offices, two separate investigations. Mm. When that broke down, it's like, okay, we're going to get in for taxes. They wired up the accountant that Dave hired, the white guy from New Jersey, George Moore.
Oh, wow. They had somebody with a wire to get you?
He wore a wire for like 6-7, almost 8 months. He wore a wire, and his whole thing was for me to say, because he used to be like, Ray, it's time to do your taxes. I'm like, I don't fucking know about taxes. Stop fucking, like, Dave. Like, I started getting funny.
Yeah.
The only thing me and him talked about was Patriots and Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't, number one, you white up here. I don't really trust you.
Yeah.
I don't know you. You're Dave's man. Let's keep our conversation quick.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Don't play with me. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
It got to the point where I'd be on tour with Rock the Party, and he'd call. I wouldn't pick up. He'd call one of my guys two times. Yo, it was Joe. Ray, I'd hung up on him. Once I got indicted, my lawyer got the transcripts where after I hang up on him, you could read. Fuck, he hung up on me again. You know, you could read all that
now,
because you could see all that. So he wore a wire. He said that two feds approached him at the Dunkin' Donuts across the George Washington Bridge, and they asked him to walk, wear a wire on me. And the reason was, he thought it would be like an adventure. He had no reasons. There was no problems with this nigga. He thought it was just something to do. I don't know if he was jealous of me. I don't know what the fuck it was. But he agreed to wear the wire on me. And the whole thing was, So if I would have said, I don't want to do my taxes. I ain't doing my taxes. I'm like, bro, I don't know a W-1 from a W-9. Dave, talk to your fucking man.
Yeah.
Get my taxes done. Why is he here?
Yeah.
We're giving him $150,000 a month in a car allowance.
Yeah.
We're paying his car and don't give him $150 a year, rather, in a car allowance. What is he for?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know taxes.
Yeah.
That's what he's for.
Yeah.
I took it to trial. I took it to trial because they offered me, they said, look, take 3. If you lose trial, it's 5. Fuck it. At this point, I sold the rest of my jewelry. I got a lawyer. I paid the lawyer almost like $300,000. And I said, I'm going to buy me time because Koi had just been born around this time. I needed more time with her.
Yeah.
So it's going to buy me at least another 8 months to a year with her.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm thinking they got me.
Yeah.
Nobody beats a tax case.
For sure.
You do not beat Al Capone. You can go down the line. Look at all the rappers who've been locked up. Ja, Joe, Wesley Snipes, you can go on and on and on and on. They all did jail time.
Yeah.
I took it to trial, an all-white jury, and George came and testified, and the closing arguments, my lawyer passes out because his heart defibrillator went. They put him back. I'm sitting there by myself.
It's like a movie.
This nigga passes out. This nigga passes out on closing arguments. The ambulance takes him in the back of the judge's chambers. I'm sitting there like, I'm fucking going to jail. Like, you know what I'm saying? So he ended up going to the hospital. It was his heart defibrillator when he came the next day, got the closing arguments. 3 hours, they found me not guilty of all charges. I still had to pay all this money, but I was found not guilty of tax evasion. And I couldn't believe it.
So what happened to the guy, George?
He ran off into the sunset. After
he's probably somewhere.
He couldn't even look at me. He was so nervous, and I'm trying not to look menacing to him because the jury's right there.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to look, you know. I said, I'm not cutting my braids. I said, fuck that, because I'm gonna go to jail anyway. Yeah. So I'm gonna keep my hair.
Yeah.
So I'm suited up, but I'm trying not to look bad at him. He's flushed away, nervous as hell. But I think it was his testimony that fucked him up because they're wondering, why didn't you do his taxes?
Yeah.
Why was you trying to get him? Like, what was all this for? And he couldn't really come up with an explanation.
Yeah.
And I got found not guilty. The United States government against me, not guilty. That shit is really a precedent, bro. Like, not that I want a parade,
nah.
But bro,
being defended is a big deal.
I got not guilty. This tattoo was right the day after that.
Oh, wow.
Not guilty. Yeah, that was a major thing in my life. You don't beat federal tax cases.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so God was good.
So what happened? So what happened with the source? Like, are you and Dave cool right now?
No, me and Dave. Look, what people don't understand is that I met Dave Mays in 1987, and me and Dave went 18 years and accomplished. There was a lot of highs. There was a lot of lows. We went through a lot. It was just time, man. You know, Dave necessarily really didn't have too many relationships. Dave got pussy.
Yeah.
You know, he was around the Z stuff.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, I gave Dave some swag. When you look at Dave now, Dave swag's a little off because he ain't with the Zista no more.
Yeah, yeah.
He look a little different.
Yeah.
He move a little different. But when he was with the Zista, Dave was fucking.
Yeah.
You know, I was fucking the artist and he was fucking the manager. You
might, oh, wow.
Look. The manager of...
Okay.
Do you know who that was at that time? Dark skin, slim?
No, I wasn't in the business then, but I know...
Well, she was her manager, so Dave would always kind of like, if I'm messing with a celebrity, Dave's trying to mess with the sister or the manager or the, so he would kind of get that, you know what I'm saying, those vibes.
Yes.
But it just was time, bro. We went through so much together. Dave's mother never liked me. Dave's mother was in court. Dave's mother thought I was going to get locked up. She came to see me get locked up.
Oh, wow.
But that didn't fuck me and Dave's relationship. You know, Dave's mother's Jewish.
Yeah.
Dave is Jewish.
Yeah.
Dave's father... I don't know if he liked me or not, but he was a lot more cooler than Dave's mother. They always looked at me as a bad guy.
Gotcha.
Influencing their Harvard graduate son. What the fuck are you doing around this guy?
Exactly. So how did y'all meet?
Because he came, tried to do an interview with my group, the RSO, at a radio station. And we just forged a friendship. Like me and Dave went through. Like, I stood in front of bullets for Dave.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But also, we learned a lot from each other. But it was 18 years of every single... Dave is supposed to be Koi's godfather. Like, yeah, every single day, me and Dave had to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
So for 18 years, it just was, I don't look at it like we broke up and because we didn't, it just was time.
Mm.
He found himself a chick,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And he rode off into the sunset. And he's doing his, and he's doing his thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, me and Dave turned down $55 million from Bob Johnson. We went and met with Bob Johnson, right, as he bought sold BET, just got the $3 billion.
Yeah.
And he says, look, you know, we owe the bank $30 million. So he's like, look, you know, I'm gonna write down and I'm gonna leave the office. He didn't even wanna talk. He said, fuck this small talk. Yeah. I'm gonna write down what I'm offering. And when I come back, you say yes or no. He didn't even want to talk about it. So he wrote down, he said $55 million. So me and Dave, just me and Dave in the office, me in DC, it was a snowy day, I'll never forget it. And we're sitting there, and I'm doing math. I'm like, well, $30 million's gonna make it 25. We're gonna take half of that taxes, that'll put it to 12.5. We gotta pay some loose ends, you know, we done got lawsuits and everything. We'll probably walk away with $3-4 million apiece. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that wasn't enough. I felt like we was that close on taking the source public.
Yeah.
You know, we valued it at $80 million.
Mm.
We, you know what I'm saying? If Bob would have said, look, you guys could stay on, we probably would have took it.
Yeah.
Stay on for 5 years, sign a 5-year contract, you and, but he wants, just go. Take the $55 million and go.
Yeah.
I don't want to fuck with y'all. Go. Mm-hmm. We turned it down, and then the rest was history. You know, we ended up signing with Black Enterprise, and they just pretty much kicked us off.
But when you say signing, what does that mean?
Like Black Enterprise, they ended up buying some, because it was only me and Dave's magazine at the time. When Black Enterprise came in, they was going to assume the debt, help pay the bank, and move it forward. But they really, it was like a hostile takeover that they had more people on the board. They had 3 people on the board. We had 2, and they ended up kicking us out. And that was it. It was over after that. And I remember,
what was that reasoning?
They didn't like us from the start. I didn't like them. Mm-hmm. They used to come up to Dave's office like with no socks on, with sandals. I was like, who the fuck are these dudes? Like, I never liked them dudes. I knew them dudes wasn't hip hop, and I knew that they wanted to take the magazine from us. So I let Dave deal with them. I didn't deal with them, but I knew it was like malicious shit involved with that.
So why would you take? What was it about their deal that was more appealing to you than
the? We had no choice at that point.
Okay,
so at that, because we felt like we were still going to be on.
Yeah,
we're still going to run it. We could take it. We can get it. See, people don't understand. The source was like, you ever had a car where only you knew how to run it?
Yeah.
And if you run it, that car's dope. If somebody else get it, they're not going to know the nuances.
Yeah.
And that's what it was about the source. Me and Dave's relationship and the way we ran that magazine was unorthodox.
Mm.
People did not understand it, but it worked.
Yes.
Because as soon as we got out of it, the magazine said, Kow. People don't realize, with Jimmy and Eminem, that was just a few of the advertisement. We still was getting Cadillac, McDonald's, like, you know, to Dave and Steve Stout's credit, they are the architects of advertising in hip-hop.
Yes.
They are the architects of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was the street guy, dealing with the street guys, and I came up with a couple of great ideas. The Source Awards, a lot had to do with me. The Source Hip-Hop Hits was majorly successful. We got a deal with JCPenney where we put, you know, a holding deal together. Like, this was, I was happy because these were things that I negotiated myself.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm just a kid from Four Corners.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you take the good with the bad. I felt bad for Dave. You know, I could have went back to Boston and sold crack. Dave, that was his baby. And he was, it affected Dave. I think to this day, Dave, you know, but it affected him. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he got the breakbeat now.
Yeah, I wish Dave well, man.
I think the Suge Knight thing is his thing now.
I wish him well. You know what I mean? I wish him well.
Yeah, I fuck up. So, last thing before we go there, I just got to ask you this question. What, you and Puff?
Oh, shit.
Tell me about your relationship.
Man, it's the only real relationship. I remember when me and Stevie first got together. And I remember Stevie telling me, he was like, yo, he told me to stay away from you. And ever since that, it was like, I've always like looked at Puff from afar. Of course, you can't help but to admire a man that's done so much. And, you know, but I had the source and he had, I remember there was just one story where we was at a party and I was with another famous chick.
Mm-hmm.
There was 2 famous chicks getting ready to kind of fight. It was like some real love and hip hop shit. Mm-hmm. It was a rapper and a reality show chick.
Okay.
I cannot say who it is.
Okay.
Not yet. I'm going to say anything in my book. I'm going to tell my truth.
Let's go.
All right. I remember he gave a party and I never forget. He didn't say nothing to me, but he came over and just handed me a split. Like this. And he just came over and was just like, and I was like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Him and Dave talked.
Yeah.
But not me.
Yeah.
So I really didn't know too much about Diddy other than Stevie, because me and Stevie was close. But I do remember Stevie telling me, look, you know, he said, you know, stay away from that guy.
So what's you and Steve, where are you and Stevie's relationship at right now?
Me and Sleeves are cool. Me and Sleeves talk a lot. He does his thing. He's doing his thing. You know, people don't realize, like, they see me and Sleeves on TV. And how you see me and Sleeves on it is just how it is. Like, we call each other when we're going through it a lot of times with our significant other, whoever that might be at the time. Mm-hmm. It's because we know that we're going to get support even if we're wrong.
Exactly.
See, our relationship is like that. Yeah. Like, even if he's wrong, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm still... And at the times where I do tell him he's wrong, Stevie gets an attitude and I might not hear from him in a week. Yeah, because he... You know, because you want that support even when you're wrong. But, you know, he got married to Faith on my birthday, July 18th. You know, I'm a Cancer. You know what I'm saying? They did get married 4 years. You know, and I told him I'm proud of him. And people don't realize, you know, Faith, you know, has a son that has autism. Stevie, like, really, really took that boy under his wing, and I watched him take care of it. Like, I watched Stevie be so disciplined, whereas I was really proud of Stevie. I didn't know he had it in him.
Mm.
Because it's not easy with a boy with autism. And, you know, Faith's son is a big guy.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? Stevie actually really loved that. I watched him, and I just was like, man, look at you, huh? I was proud of him because, you know, Stevie's a wild fucking dude. Like, I'm wild and he's wild. And that's how we really kind of, we really, because we was both two wild boys that, you know, I'm the wild guy at the source, he's the wild guy at Bad Boy. He does crazy shit, I do crazy shit. So we immediately, right before Love & Hip Hop, years before that, we connected.
Yeah.
So, you know, after the Love & Hip Hop thing, it was a little tense, but we brothers and we came back. And it's crazy because when you look in retrospect, him and Jocelyn had a baby.
Yeah.
Me and Althea had a baby, and we're not even with each other. We had a crazy fallout, and neither one of us are with him.
Mm.
So you just see how things work. Like, brotherhood lasts longer than you sometimes with you and your woman.
I just want to say this to you. I only have one thing written down. The one thing I noticed, you kind of remind me of a little bit of my brother. I got one brother, real street dude, you know, and you know, when you follow street codes and you're true to it, you follow ethics, and it feels like, as I heard everything, it just feels like Benzino, it's like, I feel like I'm sitting here saying to myself, Ray, what's the last thing you would say to Benzino? And you know what it is? I was like, I would tell him the serenity prayer. Because I feel like, as a man, the serenity prayer is necessary, especially when you're a real man, because real men, you know, we either tell you this what you're going to do, or we show you you're going to do it.
Do you know the serenity prayer?
Yeah.
Can you say it?
Yeah, it's God, grant me the serenity to know the things that I can change, the things that I can't change. It's something like that. I don't know it perfectly, but it's like, and...
I've heard that you said that. And
to know the difference. And I feel like a lot of the drama that happened in your life came from you being this street guy with bravado who's like, this is how I handle things.
Right.
So even when it's my daughter, it's like, hey, don't play with my daughter. Like, that's my... So every time you talk, it's this street ethics code.
You're right.
But those days ain't here. So the only way to help a person deal with that is... You got... Because, like, sometimes me and my brother... Let me tell you what's funny. I'll never forget, my brother was 16. He's 6 years younger than me. Took him to an event. I was at a party. A show for my artist. You know, I was having an argument with this dude. Like, that's normal music business shit. Mike's 16. I'm 22. I'm like... Yo, man, what? And he like, man, you ain't doing your thing. And it was like 15 niggas in the room. And my little brother, this dude is probably 10 years older than me. So this dude's probably 32. My brother's 15, 16. And he was like, what you gonna do, nigga? My brother said, bitch, nigga, I'll kill your motherfucker. I'm talking about motherfucker. I'm like, yo. And then the dude went from that to like, no, bro, I love your brother. He was like, don't talk to him like that then. And I remember thinking like, was that just a me thing? But I realized that my brother didn't play. So as he wanted to get in entertainment, I would just sit him down and be like, yo, bro, just because you handle like that, they don't follow the same code.
Right.
So don't ever let nobody's code fuck you up.
You
follow your code and you treat them how they treat you, not how you think you should treat you. So as I'm listening to you, I'm like, damn, McCoy, if you just... I understand it, because it's like, I have those in my family, but it's like, nigga, you can't fight the world.
Right.
You can't beat the world. You can't fight them. And you've seen it when you go at Eminem. Then
my mother told me that.
Yeah, you can't
fight the world. One of the last things I remember is she said that. She was like, well, you can't fight the world.
You can't fight the world. And as much as you know you can't, we all, Father Time kills all of us. And I think the main reason why I feel like you should know that is because you get married. I can see you happy. And it's just kind of like, I got a couple of things in my life that need to be dealt with. But I always see happy and I always see someone trying to grow. So as a brother, I tell you, just somehow, some way, just get it and just look at the serenity prayer every time you're frustrated. Because it just tells you the things I control, the things I can't. And I need to learn the difference, because then it gives me peace, because it's like, I have no control over that anyway. I want to.
And I don't want to be, I don't want to keep getting into like, you know, arguments and debates. And I just, that peace of mind is priceless, and that's why I want
to
be in my
life. And the way to get that is to know you can't control it. And sometimes, you know, I try my best to be a real human in a fake industry. And I give so much grace to people, because I'm like, nigga, like, we didn't grow up together. You don't know where I'm from. I don't know where you're from. Right, but, nigga, you probably, we all are doing what we were taught to do.
Do I?
So it's like, even if it's, so you was raised by street niggas. And, you know, Dave Mays went to Harvard. Like, how the fuck does a nigga that was raised by, father's a gangster, he's a gangster, end up in business with somebody from Harvard?
It's crazy. It's,
and built a conglomerate. And for me, it's like, as a brother, it's like, man, just sometimes, man, just play this in your head. I can't control this. Right. Well, like, can I physically move this mountain? And if I can't, I gotta let the mountain be.
I'm gonna do it.
Yeah. So, man, I appreciate you coming to my house.
Man, I learned a lot today.
This was a great conversation.
I really needed this. I really needed it. No, man, I learned a lot, and I'm gonna do exactly what you say, because, you know, working on myself is big, and I do want peace of mind, and I want to be liked.
My bonus will be, if you realize, sometimes you gotta just tell nigga, don't poke the bear. Yo, please don't poke the bear. I don't want the bear to come out, man. So sometimes a nigga just gotta know it's in me. And then another thing, if I know I can get you to react, I control you. He who controls you. In my mind, it's like, don't let nobody control you. Focus on you and your family. Yeah. And then you gotta, are you believing God?
Of course.
Me too. Sometimes you gotta just put it in God's hands. I remember it was a point in time where I had a bad reputation. And I was like, but I'm not a bad person. But I'm like, what do they see? And I went on a journey in 2013 to change myself.
Well, you have my word. I'm gonna do it.
Because I ain't gonna lie. When I saw you and Koi at that show, and her being so happy, like, and you was just like,
that was an amazing moment, because she didn't call me over there. Yeah. I was nervous as hell.
She went up there with her, but it's like, Dad, just don't fucking curse anyone out and beat people up. We get money now. And he's like, no, but they need to know me, Daddy. Your daughter literally has, and I know Chavo, because I know he just did a deal with some people of mine, yep. So I know he's getting busy too. Bro, you got that sperm you breed stars. And in my mind is like, then don't lose those stars, because the niggas around you don't follow the same rules as you. Please. Man, well, look, man, I don't even know, this is called real rap. It's not the God show. And I just want to thank my brother Benzino, and I want us all to give you grace, because my nigga, we all are imperfect humans fucking trying to do it. Like, all of us are. Like, and no one has their shit together. None of us been taught. But shit, the best we can do.
We're fragile.
Yeah, you know, man, but it's like, fragile. Give me the grace you want me to give you. Give me the benefit of the doubt.
We're born with fragile and error.
Yeah. So, man, this is Ray Daniels, and this is Ray Benzino, 2 Rays, and we are done for the day.